Hi guys, I wanted to give you some feedback about this lab that was launched 1 year ago. So we celebrated the first anniversary a few days ago, actually. So as you know, Vincent is the general manager of the activity over there. And he will share with you some feedback, challenges that we faced, lessons learned, a few KPIs as well. And he will be more than happy to answer some of your questions. So I will just start by saying a few words about why we launched the Leo & Go. You've all received some communication at the time, but I know that some of you were not part of the Vulog family at the time. So why did we launch this project that we call the Showcase? First of all, it's to better understand the needs of your needs, basically, the needs of our customers, shared mobility operators, because when you are shared mobility, when you are a tech provider, you might do good things on the tech side, but you need to know very well the business in order to be relevant to your customers. So we thought that it was the right time for us to get into that business in order to understand the challenges that you can face. And actually it was a very good decision because we understood, we learned many, many, many things. Second thing is also to be able to test some new functionalities before deploying them to you guys on your respective markets, really to understand, to receive some customer feedback, understand what is working, not working, improving the solution before releasing it. So there are a few things ongoing right now, and Vincent will tell you more about that. And third, a learning center. Learning center for our employees. And we have a lot of Vulog people who go to Lyon for a couple of days, especially when they join the company, to learn what it is exactly that we are doing and what our customers are doing. We have also the product team going on site quite often in order to speak with the local team, the team of Vincent, but also to have some workshop with users to get some customer feedbacks on what they like, what they don't like, what they would like to see, and so on. So it's really getting customer feedbacks in order to improve the solution. And what we'll be able to do, I would say from now that this service is live and running pretty well, we'll be able also to invite you, your new members, new customers to Lyon in order for the team to train you on the solution. So this was the initial goal. I think we are pretty good on the 3 points. That one is coming. And well, I will leave the stage to Vincent, who will share with you where we stand today.
Thank you, Grégory. So don't hesitate, if you have any questions, we'll have some time for Q&A after the presentation, but if you want to jump in, feel free. Already said a few words this morning about what is Leo & Go, but just so that it's clear for everyone. So Leo & Go at the moment is 300 cars in free floating in Greater Lyon. We have 100 Peugeot E208, which is fully electric, and we have 200 Toyota Yaris hybrid cars. And the area we operate in, when we say Greater Lyon, so it's Lyon is the main part of our home zone, but we also have some suburban cities that we open. So we are not only centered on one city, and the aim is really to deploy the service across the metropolis, to have not only people moving from Lyon outside Lyon and coming back to Lyon afterwards, it's also to be able to move and to commute between the city of the metropolis. And we have this airport service. We have 7 dedicated parking spots at the airport, and it's a home zone in the airport, so you can start a trip in Lyon and end in the airport. The service is fully run from Lyon, so we have a local team there of 4 persons running the operations, the marketing, and the customer support. So it's really run as if we were operator. That's the aim. We wanted to come back on a few. Well, when you look at the list, it's already a lot, but the main challenges we faced. The first one was growth. Okay, when we landed in Lyon and we had 300 cars. We just were wondering how we would get customers in the cars. And we noticed quite quickly that the market was not mature at all. There was no car sharing operator in free floating before, so the knowledge of what is a car in free floating was very low. So we needed to first really educate the users, explain what is car sharing, explain the difference with car rental, for example, explain that maybe having a car, owning a car is not the best way, that it's costly, and maybe you should move to car sharing as an economic opportunity. So we had a lot of education to do at the beginning, and it was not only about brand awareness, the Leo and Go awareness, it was more about the market, like building the market. That was the first challenge, and the second one was the home zone. In France, to operate on the public space, you need agreements with the municipalities, and it took us a year to open new home zones. So we had 300 cars in a quite limited home zone. It was also limiting the type of trips that the customers could do. So it was really something that was limiting the growth of Leo and Go at the beginning. And that's also one of the interesting facts about Leo and Go. We didn't launch in a very competitive market with already a big user base. We were talking this morning about acquisition. We didn't get our customers from competition. We get our customers for people who either didn't have a car or who had a car but got rid of their car and then moved to car sharing on top of other means of transportation, public transport, kick scooters, bikes, or whatever. Some challenges on operations, so I don't want to go too deep because we had a session this morning, but we made the choice to outsource our operations, which is great in terms of unit economics. But it's always a challenge to get the level of quality in your operations that you expect. It's always more difficult from a third-party company rather than an internal company. So we had to set standards, and at the beginning, of course, the first trips that people were making were kind of the image of the service. So if your first trip is not a success, you enter in a car that's not clean, you don't want to repeat the experience. So operations were a challenge at the beginning, and charging the EVs, again, we discussed a bit about it this morning, but it's tough. At the beginning, we were only using an infrastructure when the charging time was 5 hours for an EV. So the downtime is high, and it had an impact on fleet availability. So it's also how do we launch a large fleet of EVs in a market where charging infrastructure is still very weak. User experience, parking. We spoke this morning about parking compliance, towed vehicles. In Lyon, and as in many cities in Europe, it's tough to park, especially in the city center. When you are in free floating, it's an issue. So our customers are allowed to park in any spot in the public space for free, but still need to find it. And in the city center, it can take long. You can drive for a long time before you find the spot. So that's something we are now working on with the municipality to have dedicated areas for all car sharing users, not only Leo and Go, all car sharing users to be able to park more easily. To improve the convenience. But we see it as a limitation at the moment, and that's something that can make people quit the car sharing in free floating. That's a threat for us. And the support, call center ramp up, we talked about it this morning. And at launch, we had a lot of calls because we were on a non-mature market, so people just didn't know how it worked. So the call center really helped to educate our users, but it required to answer lots of calls, lots of email on everything. Questions that seem to be very basic, but when you don't know what is free floating, you need to ask them. And we're also surprised by the number of fraud attempts. So I don't know if it's specific to France or to Lyon, or I don't know, but we had a lot. So we had a registration process that enabled us to eliminate the people who were trying to fraud. And also we had fraud in terms of payment cards. Many people registered with prepaid payment cards. That's a kind of card where you cannot go and collect any money afterwards. So we just got rid of those prepaid cards, but at the beginning it was allowed, and we quite quickly understood it was an issue. So we didn't launch like the perfect registration process with the perfect control over the credit card, but then we improved it and managed to keep it under control, even if we will still always have a bit of fraud on the service. Thankfully, there is also a list of things that worked well, and the summary after 1 year is quite positive. From the beginning, we kept a very lean organization, and I think that's key. We didn't want to go too big at the beginning with a limited knowledge of the market size. And the service is run only by 4 people who are managing the service. Then we have ops on the field that are outsourced. But internally, Leo and Go at the moment, it's 4 persons. It's an operation manager, marketing manager, customer support manager, and myself, the general manager. So it's a very lean team, and also very lean and efficient operations. We only pay for what we get in return. We don't have a warehouse. We don't have this kind of stuff. We have very limited fixed cost. So the ops cost is increasing as long as revenue is increasing. So that's what's important for us in terms of P&L. The parking compliance, we talked this morning about fees. At the beginning, users were just parking everywhere, but we identified the users that were repetitive bad parking, and then we got rid of them after several invoices. So we also cleaned our user base. It helped, even if it's when you know how hard it is to do user acquisition, it's always sad to get rid of users. And at the beginning, we saw that because users were spending a lot of money in the service, they were good users. But that's not the truth, and sometimes you need to get rid of them still. One point about the vandalism: when we launched the service, the first 15 days were tough, because in France, when something is new, people want to discover it, but in the bad way. So we had a lot, we were welcomed by some people in Lyon. But then it calmed down, and one thing that really helped here is to have white cars, Toyota Yaris, Peugeot E208, standard cars. There are hundreds in the streets of Lyon, so our cars were kind of hidden everywhere in the street. So we have some vandalism, but as if you were deploying anything in the public space, it will be subject to vandalism, but you just need to keep it at a reasonable level, and it's the case so far in Lyon. One thing that worked very well, and that's the aim also of Leo and Go. Leo and Go, this showcase, is designed to be local. It's not like a service would operate in many cities. It's designed for Lyon. We called it Leo and Go because Lyon means the lion, the animal, which is the symbol of the city. So we really want to localize the service. And that's a very good strength for us in terms of partnership, and people want to consume now what's local. It's true for food, for amusement, for everything, but also for mobility. And we are able to make very key partnerships with local actors. It can be a music festival, amusement park, this kind of stuff. And we offer other experiences to our users, but that are local. So when they go for their grocery shopping in the shop, they have a discount because they are Leo and Go users, for example. So the experience goes beyond mobility. And I think that's what they like about the service, and customer loyalty is very high also thanks to that. They are attached to the brand. So customer satisfaction, we are very happy with the ratings we have of the service and the feedbacks we receive at the support. And again, the local aspect helps a lot. Having a support that is answering to 90% of the calls are answered locally. By someone in-house, they like it. In average, we answer any claim in less than 2 hours. So 90% of the claims are answered in less than 2 hours. So they feel there are people behind this app. I think that's important. When it's only digital, when you compare to a car rental, at least you see a guy, he gives you the key. He will do everything with the app. But they feel there are people. There are people for the operations that they meet sometimes. There are people in the call center. We meet our users, we do events with them. That really helps to create link. The airport is a big success. At the moment, airport accounts for 7% of the Leo and Go trips, so it's quite huge. And again, for the visibility of the service, that's great. That's a showroom for us. And that's that's a good success. And then maybe the last one, and maybe the most important, is the diversity of trips that we have in Neo1Go. We have three kinds of trips, basically. We have trips inside greater Lyon area, which are few kilometers, 10 kilometers that you can imagine in the metropolis. We have trips from or to the airport, but we also have trips of several hours or days or even weeks, especially this summer, we experienced that. So the car, and that's not what we want. The car is not only a tool for cities. It's, of course, what we want is to go further with the car. And if someone gets rid of his car, he will need the car to go grocery shopping, but also to go on holidays at some point. And the variety of the diversity of usage that we have is very good. And this summer we had cars going in the mountains, going in Spain, going everywhere for holidays. And we were a smart alternative to any classic car rental or this kind of stuff. So it was. It was a great summer, and we hope it will continue. Just to give you some KPIs, so since the launch, we have seen a continuous growth for Neo1Go. As long as customers come because they have a need. That's really something we have understood and experienced. It's not because we give a lot of credit to a user. Like he will use the car for leisure. He will use the car the day he will really need a car and he cannot move by tramway or by a scooter or by something else. So customers come quite naturally. At the moment we count 9K approved members to the service and the utilization rate increased since the beginning. Of course we started low, but at the moment we are at 9% utilization rate of the fleet for this summer, so it's quite a good growth and it's continuing, and the first numbers for September are very very promising. Customer satisfaction, already discussed about it, but that's a great result. So we have a user base that is happy about the service, and when they compare with other car sharing experience that they have had, they really make the difference. They like it, and we see they want even more. That's great, and I want to speak about the new features so that we are testing. There are three of them, and we can, of course, discuss them later on. We saw a need. At the beginning, we launched with only instant booking. But if you take the car, you have 15 minutes to get there, and you start your trip. But in free floating, it doesn't answer all needs. Sometimes you need to make sure the car will be there when you need it. When you want to go at the airport, you want to secure the availability of the car, or when you go for 2 weeks holidays, you don't want to take the risk that the car is not there. And it's I think that's a good example of what the lab can do. At the beginning, when we launched this feature, it was not a feature. We just sent an email. It was back in December, just before the Christmas holidays. We sent an email to our user base saying, hey, by the way, you can now pre-book your car. But there was nothing. Just send an email if you want to pre-book. So we sent an email, and we saw some emails. It was just to check if there was demand. We received some emails, it was all manual, but at least we knew that we would develop something for that will answer a need. And then we are now developing this schedule a trip feature that is fully integrated to the app, where the customer has two options to book a vehicle, either instant way, so he books 15 minutes before the start of the trip, or he books 24 hours, minimum before the beginning of the trip, and we deliver the car at the address. There is a radius of 500 meters that we define as 500 meters around the address required by the customer, and the car is there. It's clean, and the guy just has to go with the car. So that's an option, of course, for the customer. To give you an idea, it costs 10 euros to the customer to have the car delivered, but again, to go to the airport at 3 a.m., it's still way cheaper than any taxi or this kind of service, but the car is there. So this is a great success, and this drove as well long trips for summer, because that's when people pre-book their car. So it's two ways of doing free floating, and it's also a way. This morning we talked about how the fleet is located across the Amazon. Some people are in less dense areas where we would naturally have less fleet because there is less demand, but those people would pre-book their car. And then it allows us to give access to cars in areas where there is no supply, basically. It's also a way to touch new customers. We even sometimes deliver cars outside the home zone. So in home zones where we are not basically not allowed to to operate, we delivered it at the location requested by the customer. So it's also a way to attract new customers. And then the management of the booking is done in the back office, and the car is automatically allocated if it's in the radius that is 500 meters around the location. So in terms of managing a large number of scheduled trips, we need some automation like this. Another interesting feature, and again it comes from a need, we understood that our customers wanted different stuff, other stuff than only mobility. They want experience, and we wanted to link to show the usage that they could make of the car, to give examples. For example, you can use our car to go to a mountain resort, or you can use it to go to an amusement park, for example. And when we were discussing with partners, we identified the need to have the locations, what we call the places, visible in the app. So now, when you open the Leo and Go app, you see cars with car pins, but you also see some points of interest. Some of them are temporary, for example, a music festival that is happening on the weekend. But we also have some permanent partnerships. We have an amusement park 1 hour from Lyon. When you get to the amusement park, you have a discount on the entrance to the park. You have €5 discount, for example. And you have a discount on the trip. So it's automated. Anytime a customer makes a stopover in a zone that we have identified, he gets automatically system credits on his Leo account. And on top of offering the experience to the user, on top of creating long trips, it's also a very good tool to negotiate partnerships with local actors. We use the app as a tool of visibility for partners. And that's what they want. And it's also more automated. It avoids to have the customer going to the entrance of the commercial mall or the park and show his Leo and Go app and get a ticket. It's much more automated. So it's also less task for our support to give the credit. So this is a great tool for us for partnerships, and the feedbacks from customers are very very positive about it, and we are playing with that. For example, at the moment we have a lake saga, so we show the lakes around Lyon that are interesting, of course, and for September, so for back to school, we are working on a shopping mall saga with several shopping malls that will be visible in the app, but we always have partnerships with those shopping malls. And it's not only about visibility in the app and system credits, it's also, for example, creating a B2B account for the people of the shopping mall. So we always try to go big with those partners. Places is a great tool for that. And the third one, we spoke about this morning, integration. And one of the aim of the lab was also to test and to put in place the Salesforce integration, especially on the marketing automation part. So we are still, it's a big tool, so it takes time to go full potential with Salesforce. But we started small, and we are increasing the usage we are making. So at the moment, what we have in Salesforce is automated campaigns for our users. So we have user journey, where we incentive users, for example, if they have been inactive for a certain time, or for users that have been very active, we are able to give rewards through Salesforce, but it's fully automated. We use it also, for example, for overdue management. So when a customer has an overdue, he's automatically chased by Salesforce. And until now, we only used emails, but we are now testing other channels, which are text message, and which are push notifs, to understand what's the best way of communicating to the customer depending on the issue. We know text message is very intrusive, but we want to test it for important topics such as overdue above X euro. So we are really on the way to exploit the full potential of Salesforce. And since we have it, we have seen an increase of usage of activity of our users. And we have good, what we measure is the open rates of our campaigns. And we always try to, we always have more than 35-40% open rates, which is quite good. So the content we shoot through Salesforce is quality content. We don't spam our users, that can be the risk, but we try to control it. So Salesforce is a great tool for us. At the beginning when we launched, we were trying to do everything manually, but in terms of time, of course, it's not efficient, but also for the customers, we lack, we miss some customers that should be targeted. So we have very precise audience here that we can manage with Salesforce. So that's the main three features that we are testing at the moment. In terms of next steps, there are two main focuses. The first one is B2B. At the moment, our customers are mostly B2C, and we are convinced that car sharing is also a great solution for B2B. We have just hired a fifth person, which is a business developer for B2B. He will be dedicated to that because we know it takes time to change mobility patterns in companies. We are working on the best approach to approach a company, basically. Everyone wants to have a greener image, but what do they really want to do? Do they have budget for it? It takes time, so we need to find the right approach depending on the size of the company as well. It's not the same if it's a very small or if it's a large one. The mobility needs are different, so we need to understand all that and to optimize the B2B solution. That's also something we work on and we want to go one step further on B2B. And the other one is Homezone extension, again, and we are working to extend it even beyond the current Homezone. And that's the sense of Leoando, is to be deployed to more and more cities. I wanted to go quite fast, so we have some time for questions, but again, you are more than welcome to come to Lyon. The service has been running since a year, so now it's quite okay, I would say. So we are ready to welcome you. Always, of course, to share our good practice, but also for you to share yours. And I'm sure you have plenty. So if you have, I guess you have questions, I want to open it for this session. So, yes?
So the initial option is you book 15 minutes in advance, yeah, the start of your trip, but you book the car that is just next door. Yeah.
So the next 15 minutes,
yeah,
you
have because
a car.
Yeah.
And you are able to offer this car.
No.
So it makes sense to
park. No. So the 15 minutes, you open the app, you see where the car you want is, you book it, and you go to the car. So we do not deliver the car for this 15 minutes. This is instant booking, so there is no action from our side for this. You just select your car and you have 15 minutes to get to the car.
So it's basically free floating. So there is free floating, the customer has 15 minutes to reach the car.
It was a misunderstanding, I was confused. So how it was.
And then you have schedule a trip, where the customer needs to book at least 24 hours in advance, and then the promise is that you'll get a car in a radius of 500 meters. So either there is a car available and the system automatically allocates the car, so you basically don't have anything to go, and the car is being booked for the user. Or if there is no car, and it happens what, 10% of the time, right?
Yes.
Do
you have someone
station
moving your car?
Okay, you're choosing, you select a station where you want to have next day a car.
It's another station.
It's an address.
So it's within,
okay,
within the home zone,
yeah,
you put your address.
Yeah. Okay, and the radius of 500 meters somewhere the car would be. Then you open the app and see where it's directly located.
Have you had any issues with like schedule trips where you have like too many requests? Have you had any kind of anything you've had to do to manage the upside risk?
We hope we will have. At the moment, no, because we have a large fleet, we have 300 cars, so we still have space. We even, so the aim is to bring the car at the latest you can, to not to, to put at risk your availability. So we usually bring the car in the last 3-4 hours before the booking. We don't like to have a car waiting for a customer. And having the request 24 hours before at the latest just saves the thing, so we can kind of forecast the demand. So at the moment we don't have it, but if we have it, we need to find ways. There is no additional service than the availability of the car. So we deliver a car as if you were taking it in free floating. There are some comments that the user can add. So if he needs, I don't know, snow chains, for example, he will request a snow chain and we'll put it in the trunk of the car, for example. That's additional options. But we expect any car of our fleet to be clean at the moment, so we deliver just any car. And the best option for us, and that's what we like more, is when there is no car to deliver, that we already have a car in the radius, and we don't do anything.
So there is a comment section, but there will be a comment section in the release, the next release, where we ask the customer basically to give us additional information, such as, okay, is there any additional options that you'd like, AB seat, snow chains, and so on, but also we'll be asking the estimated return date. For instance, someone wants to go, well, if it's for 1 hour, it's for the airport, okay? So if we provide a car with 50 kilometers ranges, that's fine. But if it's for a week, for instance, we probably look, make sure that the car is has a full tank, make sure that it's not an electric one as well. Even if the customer asks for an electric, we probably make sure that this is working. So we are seeing test modes. So don't know everything, but the idea is really with one fleet, with the free floating fleet, to be able to provide an additional service and basically compete with when scheduled booking or car rental.
Yes, a question. So if I don't put in a comment, will the system automatically assign the car, or is it always something you will manually?
No, the system will automatically assign a car if there is a car in the radius.
So it could assign, if it's an electric car, it could assign really low battery, and if it's a gas car, it could assign really low battery.
Yes, but you ask, because the customer is asked to choose a model, so if he asks for an electric car, yes, the system will allocate an electric car. Now, yes, if a customer asks for an electric car to do 700 kilometers, we'll allocate an electric car automatically. Yeah, in our model, everything is included, including the fuel or the recharge. So even if you live with only 400 kilometers of autonomy, you can fuel the car on your way and we'll reimburse the amount to the customer. So yes, we try to make an effort, select always the most loaded car, but it's not, again, it's not a car rental. So what we wouldn't like to have is to have an agent taking a car, having to fuel it, and then to drop it off at the location. It's too much.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned that the airport is one of the best use cases. Can you explain briefly what kind of marketing activity you've done to make you known at the airport?
Not so much, actually. I think what makes a big difference is that we are just in front of the terminal. So we are very visible. The cars, when you get out of the airport in Lyon, you see the Leo and Go cars. So that really helps. We are just next to the taxi area, which they don't like too much, by the way. But we are very visible. So that really helps. And then we also did some digital advertisement around it just to make sure the offer is well known. That's what I said this morning. We present the Leoengo service as a airport shuttle sometimes, just to attract the attention of customers. This also helps. But again, what works very well is word of mouth. And people, when they have a good way to get to the airport, they always tell their friends, and they know that's the cheapest and most convenient option to go to the airport. So, but we did, the beauty of it is that we didn't do so much in the end. So to the first question, Salesforce is of course the data from Vlog is flowing into Salesforce, so we are getting the user status, but plenty of other things. And for example, when we send marketing campaigns, we only send it to our approved users. We don't send it to our suspended users. So we need to do some filters afterwards. So we have all users that are coming in Salesforce, but then we just sort them depending on criteria. It can be the status, it can be the age, it can be the gender, it can be the location, the address where they live. So we really manage to define a very targeted and precise audiences with Salesforce. So that's for the question one, I think. No, so support tickets we don't at the moment. So we manage the support in Zendesk at the moment, because Salesforce still requires sometimes for integration. It makes sense to have both, because then you have links between the support and the marketing. But for reason of convenience, it was more easy to go Zendesk first. We are looking at the integration for support as well. It makes sense. And then in terms of course, it has a cost, but when we have a quite large user base, it's hard to make manual campaigns for everyone. So we really saw, when we launched automated campaigns, an impact on the activity of our users. Because we were sure any user, if he was entering in a journey, for example, that the user has not made any trip in the last 3 weeks, we know we would send him a promo code that is valid for the next 2 days, like to trigger the usage. So we really saw user activity increasing after launching Salesforce. Of course, in terms of acquisition, it helps if you have an external database, but if you don't have it, you always target your own base. It also helped to have users completing their registration. No. We all have some users that are not finalized their registration, but still they have downloaded an app, they have shown an interest for the service. The question is, how do we get them to the final status? And of course, you can always chase them manually, give calls, but when it's a big database, then it's tough. So we have journeys for those guys. They receive an email after 3 hours after completing their registration when they are in incomplete status. And then they receive another email a week after, they receive SMS, so we are really chasing them. And it's always easier to move a user from incomplete to approved status rather than going and pick another user and moving to approved. So that's, we have seen an increase in the rate of ratio of approved users since we launched Salesforce.
After
Well, the only reason, if they go abroad, they are covered in terms of insurance. That's the first thing. So we have an insurance that covers any trip that is done within Europe, so that's okay. We saw it was only leisure trips, because from Lyon to go abroad, usually it was more in the south, it was on Spain or Italy, that's the countries where they went. We had a bit of Switzerland as well, customers going there. It's not the majority of the trips, of course, it's some trips, but it was always good trips, paid trips, so it's good, I mean, for the service. How many do we manage to recover? Well, so the user base of incomplete at the moment, we are looking at 20-30% of the total users that register to Leongo. So that either users that just downloaded the app because they were curious and they just entered an email, and when they start to see they are asked for video selfie, they just quit, for example. Or, and those guys are not really interested in the service, so they will be tougher to move to approved. The others are people who are maybe lazy, who just didn't have their driving license with them at the moment they were registering. So those guys will really have a chance. At the moment, I don't have metrics about it, so I don't want to say any number, but it's still significant. When we saw that the rate of incomplete users was dropping, when we really started to chase them, there was really a clear impact.
This is the point of Leongo, because there is no other point than doing this kind of stuff.
And some features, for example, the schedule trip take some time to, of course, to design, but then to test. And the good thing with this lab is that we can test real situation. And of course, then there are plenty of discussions with the Vlog team to improve the feature and to deliver it when we think it's really ready.
The Salesforce integration was done pretty much at the beginning of the project, so we already have experience on the utilization, so that's what we can share numbers.
Yeah.
Is there any other question that you would like to ask? Yes.
When you look at the major cities in France, that could make sense for car sharing, that's not the case. Well, in cities you have Paris, Paris is
and the footprint of shared mobility was already there in Lyon, not of car sharing and free-floating, but Lyon was the first city in France to launch shared bikes, docked shared bikes in 2005. It was a long time ago. There are 5K. So Lyon is 500K inhabitants. Huh? So the metropolis is more, but Lyon is quite a big city. There are 5K docked bikes. There are kick scooters in free floating. There are 4K kick scooters in Lyon. So it's big. There is a good public transportation network, which also helps. And as Greg said, there is this political willingness to get rid of individual cars. So the context was very positive, and what we notice is that the user of car sharing is someone that uses more than average the public transport, or walking, or kick scooters, or whatever else. So the ground was good for us. Very good question. There are many providers, more or less reliable, more or less expensive as well, more or less fast charging, so it's really hard to read. We don't proactively push our users to recharge the cars, because part of the, on top of the cost issue, there is the convenience, and will the charging station work, how fast will it charge, but some users do it. So same as for fuel, we reimburse. What we introduced recently is the maximal amount per kilowatt hour. So we reimburse the recharge up to 45 cents per kilowatt hour. Because you have some charging stations, for example on the highway, very fast, they are very nice, very bright. The price is 90 cents per minute. So we had some users, they charged the car, they left the car charging in 20, 30 minutes, it was charged, no issue. But they were at the McDonald's having their big menu, so they stayed for 1 hour, and we really had invoices of 40, 50, 60 euros to get 300 kilometers worth of autonomy, which doesn't make any sense. We had users that were sending a bill for which the cost was more important than the cost of the trip itself. So we said, no, we just stop. We would love to provide some charging cards or RFID cards in the car, but it's not the offer is not readable enough at the moment, so we just don't do, unfortunately. But that's something we want to push as well. We want our user to use electric cars to go further, to go on holiday with it, and hopefully it's going to be possible, but it's very linked to the charging infrastructure. Yes, so carbon, I think for carbon footprint there are two things. There is the EVs, of course, are quite good in terms of footprint. When, at the moment you use it, because then when you look at the conception and then the second life, it's another story, but EVs in the city are good. And then we all know, and city knows, that EVs are not yet a solution for long trips. So the way we position us is we want to put EVs, but on top we need other cars that we will fuel, that will be less efficient in terms of carbon consumption, but still they will be shared. And having a shared car, so in France when we looked at the stats, an individual car is used during only 4% of its lifetime. So there is 96% of the lifetime where it's parked and not used. So for us, introducing even a thermic car, but as long as it's shared, is always better than having an individual car. So that's what we think. Of course, we'd like to go with more EVs, and that's what may happen in the future. But so far, there are some limitations to it. And then the footprint goes beyond only the car models. It also goes through the operations model. So our agents, they don't have any truck or anything. They only move with kick scooters or bikes or public transport. So in terms of global footprint,
I was really meaning like India, like for the users. I mean, giving feedback on the
Is there any more questions? Or we still have one day to answer them. So feel free, and thanks for your attention. I hope it was quite clear. Thank you very much.
Calling on to Zaka and Nicole to join Fabien on stage to talk about operations and mitigate the unknowns.